Thursday news. Again, we will concentrate on the backlog of news that you have already received. We will not give a great deal of news today because we would prefer that you would get caught up with all of the countries and their descriptions. The Rosenbergs, its relationship to the present, and all of the messages that you do have to pass, the news messages, the commentary, particularly of Tuesday, or Monday rather, that we have to know in detail. So let us prepare our minds for once catching up on that which we've missed. You could replay the message of Monday night in the library, and that should be done. Or perhaps it could be done even at 6 o'clock, because a lot of that, we never replay messages before, but a lot of that would give you an updating of the situation in the world and the perspective that one needs. The Israeli Defense Minister is on emergency flight to Austria to meet with the War Minister of Egypt. The urgency of the meeting has not been brought to light. The Soviet Union is suggesting that the USA has about found Israeli usefulness come to an end. There's also thought that the defense minister of the Zionist State of Israel will meet with Sadat, who is the strong-armed president now, same as dictator since the referendum that put him strongly in power. The referendum seems to be used these days to strengthen the rule of government of both right and left. It has been so used even in Guyana to strengthen the socialist movement here. On the very wake of the new era since the referendum, Minister of Economic Development Hoyt has stated that medical doctors had best prepare their minds to cooperate with socialized medicine. So at least we can see that the referendum in Guyana at this point in time is being used in a progressive way to strengthen the hand of the government representing the genuine interest of working class people. It was the strongest demand made on medical doctors yet to be heard in Guyana. So strong that in fact one doctor has moved to Trinidad, surgeon who we have rather liked as far as his medical practice. He's a very good surgeon. But Cuba is sending in a new team of doctors into Guyana to help with the new quest for a socialized medicine, a medicine within the reach of the people. The referendum giving the minister, President Sadat of Egypt, strong hand has not been used in the interest of the people. Egypt's cost of living is staggering, and its public services are even less than they were before the referendum, and much less than they were under the leadership of President Nasser, N-A-S-S-E-R, who was a socialist and a strong ally of the Soviet Union. China's doctrine of three worlds has not held sway in some instances. Egypt, a very powerful nation, once in the Soviet camp, is now, loosely at least, in the USA imperialist program. Anyway, the foreign ministers are meeting in Salzburg, where Sadat is apparently on holiday. But 1 week later, the USA foreign minister, Secretary of State rather, Vance, will meet with all of the foreign ministers of Egypt and Israel. Israel is being forced to a decision unilaterally, according to BBC opinion, to begin to remove the military government in the West Bank. They have not yet decided by any means to give in to USA, Egyptian, and Jordan demands the West Bank be returned to Jordan and the Gaza Strip to Egypt. Sharansky, who is on trial for his life in the Soviet Union, is still being championed on the hour, every hour, in this great episode of concern for human rights. We have not heard, surprisingly enough, much said from Carter about the human rights of the South Koreans, who are living under a vicious form of fascism, are the Philippine Islands, are in Indonesia, are in Uruguay. He did try it briefly a year ago in Brazil, but backed away from it when Brazil dropped its U.S. military aid agreement. There seems to be nothing but hypocrisy in much of the world. USA is appealing to the USSR, sometimes in belligerent tones, and others in pious moral tones, to drop the proceedings against Sharansky, because they have nothing to gain. That is, the Soviet Union says, the USA says, that the Soviet Union has nothing to gain from this prosecution. In the eyes of the world, it is hurting them. Well, who knows? Painful last moments of Groucho Marx, great comedian, has been brought to light. How he was stuffed in a dilapidated nursing home while his son and longtime companion, thought to be his homosexual companion, fought over his wealth, an estimated $2.5 million. Finally, a judge consorting in the matter gave a conservatorship to his grandson, and Groucho remained penniless in bed until his last moments. It seems that unhappiness is the rule of the day. Elvis Presley's last moments, dying at 42, in fear and paranoia, the because he had spoken out on some issues that angered the Memphis, Tennessee establishment and even some of the establishment rulers of USA. His last month, and that's all that has surfaced, was filled with misery before he was found dead on the floor of a bathroom where he had high degrees of various types of narcotics in his body.
All right, we're clear.
And his wealth is being fought over at this time, divided his family. Capitalism, the love of money, seems to be unable to bring peace. I do demand that we speak of children's behavior in terms, however, not of being socialistic and capitalistic. The benefits of socialism must be pointed out in the nursery and toddler and school age levels. Don't speak of someone in terms of being capitalist. No one here is capitalist. They may be selfish at times, as the human psyche conforms very slowly to refinement and evolvement. We are born very primitive and very aggressive animals. Socialism is a doctrine of environmental determinism. But we should not label children good socialist without a great deal of merit, and we should point out the benefits of socialism, the treats, being away from crime in the streets, where they too could have been castrated, as the number of black youths were in Buffalo, New York, that I pointed out in this week's news, and that's only a few that surfaced. Our teenagers have been two of the now what has been brought to light is probably close to 6,000 young men who have died from physical abuse and exhaustion in USA Army recruit camps, as the two that were murdered in 90-some degree heat by two drill sergeants the past few days. News now is bringing to light that it may be 6,000, and the capitalist press has never been known for truthfulness, so maybe it's 60,000. All of our teenagers would be facing military recruitment because they're talking of the draft again, particularly for those without educational qualifications. The exemptions of elitism are being discussed again, that only the bright, the rich white, which none of you would qualify, will be included in the cannon fodder of flesh to support the monopoly interest of world capitalism. Another person in just one day, the richest capitalist in the world, Howard Hughes. The legacy of Howard Hughes is being brought to light, the classic legal scramble for his vast empire. News tells of how he had kidney failure, that the poorest person in a ghetto would have received better treatment had they had it, when he died at 69 years of age in an airplane flying from Acapulco to Houston. He was a man that had literally starved to death. His body had fed on itself, because the people around him had no care. He had no wife, no children when he passed, and his $2.3 billion are up for grabs as people are manufacturing more wills all the time. Included in the fraud is the great conservative and racist church, the Mormon Church of Utah. Three people have been accused of forgery who were good Mormon elders in an attempt to see that his beneficiaries would become the Mormon Church. It has a token black now in priesthood, but a very strong doctrine that no black has the same soul evolvement as whites and are not allowed in their inner temples where they pray for the dead. His life was a web of suffering. Though he was rich, it brought no peace. So our children need the benefits of socialism pointed out to them. Here, when you get old, there is a staff 40-some strong in the medical field to take care of you. And we're learning more each day about the art of caring. And one day, we will be able to personify Father's art of loving. But we have more caring than any place in the world. Children have protection from the beasts of the field, the snakes, diseases. Is now running rampant, a new form of pneumonia in USA that has built up antibodies. They think that it may be a form of a Legionnaire's disease, and it has well killed 16,000. It may well have killed 16,000 this last year in USA. It has broken out many, many times in Philadelphia. There has been thought that it was an experimental vial that got lost from the CIA Auxiliary Center in Pennsylvania. And then there is just thought the microbes of pneumonia have built immunity in what was supposed to be an advantaged society where there's all sorts of antibiotics. We don't have that kind of thing. No mystery diseases to plague us. No thieves and robbers to break in our homes. No racist mobs to castrate little children or rape old ladies and brutalize old gentlemen. We need to point out very carefully the benefits of socialism. That will be my theme, and it'll be resounding on your ears. Do not label the children when they are showing egocentric behavior, nonconformist behavior. Do not label it as capitalist. Say you're being selfish. And I want each supervisor, every parent, every teacher, to take note and clear warning. You are to show the benefits of socialism, the treats, the food, the boat that one day will take them to sea, will give them opportunity to see the fish of the oceans, because they'll travel on it, as five were slated to go on our smaller boat, to get their eyes examined. And one child who would have been certain to be blind, protected because of socialist cooperation, everyone being their neighbor's keeper, caused our observant eyes to catch something before it was late. Too late, in fact. In fact, indeed, there are 13 in all whose eyes will be saved from early blindness. They may all go next week, but at least five will go at a time, and if possible, all 13, if the new busload gets processed through in time. The benefits of socialism. No need to worry for food or clothing. No need to worry that someone will leave them alone to be burned up in a home or to be ravaged by an uncaring relative, raped as many of our young men were that are still here in this community, raped by their own relatives while mom and dad were out doing their thing or working at two jobs. The benefits of socialism is what I want pointed out. Otherwise, children will rebel, and that would be tragic, against the most beautiful thing in the world, socialism. So let's portray it in the light that it should be. Perhaps the most important news of the day is that Ambassador Andrew Young, in one of his schizophrenic moments of truth, broke away from the vice of protocol and said to the leading French newspaper, Le Monde, that there are thousands of political prisoners in the United States of America. He said, I have been one. I have been in prison, and I am still in a prison of sorts. His later apologies were not emphasized as he fell back into his diplomatic and Uncle Tom role that the light-skinned young minister, former congressman from Georgia, whose seat has been replaced by Carter by an utterly and vicious white racist, now an ambassador in a post that carries no weight as the ambassador of the United Nations, where Carter put his few token blacks. No doubt his conscience has haunted him, and it haunted him so much today that he spoke. The news is blasting him. Every network, NBC, ABC, CBS, and even the British Broadcasting Company, said his big mouth has got him in trouble again. He's reflected on the United States in a time that has drawn attention away from the oppression of the Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union made hay of his admission. TASS and Pravda said this is an official U.S. admission coming from the representative of the United States government, the U.N. ambassador, Andrew Young. It is an official admission that was long been overdue of the political oppression that is a way of life in USA. Secretary of State Vance was so furious that he fell in a faint in his chair. Congressmen are calling for his immediate impeachment. It did not state how many, but the indications of every radio broadcast is that there is a vast movement now from the swelling 500,000 that was led the impeachment protocol by the fascist right-wing racist governor of New Hampshire. Then the reason for that was because he had visited what they call the Marxist state of Guyana. Aren't we glad we're in a place that is so hated by capitalist and racist whites, and that he had spoken out for the liberation of Angola? Well, President Carter went on nationwide TV to disassociate himself from the ambassador and said, I am having a hard time of understanding where Mr. Young's head is at. He did not even use the official title. We will give you any news bulletins as to the developments. This is an unforgivable crime to break loose from the shackles of your prison of conscience that all people of color have to go along with what's happening in USA today. Perhaps the schizophrenic good side of him saw what happened to Senator Brooke when he has said nothing, and he decided, what the hell is the use? Because Andrew Young has, in the last few months, been sickening in his apologetic tone for USA involvement in Africa, for its economic interest in the Union of South Africa. He has talked out of both sides of his mouth till any sensitive thinking human being could see that he is almost maniacal and certainly terribly troubled and grossly dual. But whatever We're glad for the refreshing wind out of one black man's mouth. In a sudden moment of impulse that the French news agency said he did not realize that he was being taped, so it is difficult for him to give a denial. He is trying to put it in perspective, Young is, at this time, but his words are taped in that news conference with the French newsman. Two Chinese ships are still waiting outside the harbors of Vietnam, and they have now begun to turn back their ethnic Chinese on the flimsy ground that Vietnam are using their Chinese as infiltrators into the Chinese society. This is quite a change from the charge of just days ago by mainland China that the Socialist Reunified Republic of Vietnam, Democratic Republic of Vietnam, was prejudiced and bigoted against all Chinese. Now the Chinese say they are utilizing the Chinese ethnics, Vietnamese Chinese, to infiltrate mainland China and pollute the minds of Chinese citizens with their pro-Soviet doctrines. China can't seem to keep a consistent line these days. Namibia appears that they're going to get an agreement for their liberation. Though Union of South Africa is greatly pressured by its own economic interest not to do so, it is being forced to keep its agreement that Namibia will have its independence by the end of this year, as SWAPU, the guerrilla activists, have maintained such firm and vigorous campaigns and pressures that it will be freedom for Namibia. And you need to look where Namibia is on the map. After the tragic loss of several hundreds of lives in Spain, the tourist ship lorries that have been so cheaply built that took many Americans and British to their death in a raging explosion and fire have been banned in Spain. Spain is just merely coming out of the fascist consciousness of Franco. It's amazing that USA and Britain, with their so-called enlightened democracy, so-called that is, have not banned such vessels that are not seaworthy. This is the principal news of the day. Because Israel is the biggest force, the unknown factor in the world, I will give you background on Israel, because Libya is concerned that Israel poses a threat of World War III. Syrian army is at war footing still, waiting to see if Israeli forces withdraw from South Lebanon that they took by military conquest of force of arms. The location of Israel, you're making your maps, which are due first of next week, the first People's Rally of next week, which will be Tuesday. Be prepared, you know, for testing in socialist classes tomorrow. The testing may be tomorrow night, as we'll all gather together in my plan now for testing tomorrow night in the theater pavilion. Socialist teachers tonight, and those who Comrade Vernetta Christian name off as not passing, wonderful people, many who've not passed, will have extra class, a long class this evening. This extra class is necessary so we can all have a common level of knowledge, reasonable common level of knowledge, because we don't want elitism to develop over intellectual awareness or memory of facts or comprehension of the state of the world. It does not want elitism, because some people who did not have the benefits of education when it could have helped them when they were young more effectively are the best producers in this community. And we need to take, testers need to take consideration for these people, know their background from counseling, because that's what socialism does. It empathizes and cares. And get them into the right niche. Many of them should be by now channeled into Professor Roller's class so they can get the basics in writing and reading that Comrade Grubbs was speaking about. Or they can be in daytime classes, because we have no gap here between the age of our children. We're all children of socialism. Israeli forces are still holding on to South Lebanon, are still making air violations at this time, the last point of news, into Beirut, that is war-torn. As I said, it is considered by most military strategists, sociologists, and economists that Israel, I-S-R-A-E-L, poses the greatest threat to world peace of any nation, because it has an atomic, a nuclear stockpile, and it has a right-wing, what even BBC calls paranoid, Prime Minister Menachem Begin, who was known for his terror tactics, torture tactics, when he removed whole villages of Arabs in the first days of the setting up of the unnatural state of Israel. Where is Israel? At the eastern end of the Mediterranean. It is bordered on the west by the Mediterranean Sea, on the north by Lebanon, that is torn in part these days by the Muslim socialist who are trying, our representative, to gain the power to represent the government, and the Falangists, which are fascist Christians. Almost distinctly, Christians in Lebanon are fascist, and the Muslims are socialist. And on the east, Syria borders Israel and Jordan, and on the southwest by Egypt, particularly since Israel, in its expansionism, its fascist expansionism, has conquered territory right up the Gaza Strip, right up next to Egypt and the Suez. How was it created? The original Jewish state in Palestine was destroyed by the Romans 70 years after the death of Jesus, the so-called Jesus of Nazareth, who was said to live many, many years ago on this earth. That is, you see, nearly 1900 years ago, the first state of Israel, a Palestine, Jewish state in Palestine, was destroyed by the Romans, who worshipped idols, according to Christians, and were heathen, but had a great civilization for a time. Israel came to mean to the Jewish people Palestine. It was one and the same to them. And it was the place to which Israel sought to return. The chosen people. That's what it means, chosen. By God. We never found God, so we never knew who he chose. And if the Israelis were chosen, God sure didn't take care of his own, in that two-thirds of them perished in the cruel hoax and torture of Nazi Germany, in which even the Zionist rulers now of Israel sold out the working class Jews and paid Hitler off only to save a few of the ruling rich, the rich, rich elite. Anyway, Palestine was the place to which Israel sought to return. In the 19th century, the view began to evolve that the Jews all over the world were the fragments of a nation which must once again be united. Economically, it was decided by capitalists because the Jews were so pro-Marxist, so pro-Soviet, so pro-socialist, so pro-communist. They were the fermenting of most liberalization movements and social reform movements, and they were the vanguard, often, of the Marxists who were attempting to bring a new era of freedom for the working class. So the capitalists had to come up with a scheme to divert the Jews away from integration within the communities and countries in which they lived. And perhaps we'll find one day they jointly arranged. They certainly all abdicated, and Zionists even cooperated. That's the capitalist, the real strong monopoly capitalist, the Zionist element of the Jews, all cooperated in the murder of the Jews in the gas ovens, the incinerators in Hitler's Germany. Perhaps it was all done to get them interested in a holy crusade to a so-called religious state, a homeland that's not turned out to be very peaceful. And in the end, capitalists in their contradictions will sacrifice capitalists, and there are fewer Zionist capitalists than there are white Anglo-Saxon Protestant or WASP capitalists. So you know who's going to get it in the end, because capitalists do each other in, as we saw the dictator in the Philippines murder his five leading millionaire, banker, capitalist supporters, done in all the nations, Pakistan, Indonesia. It's done in USA. One capitalist eliminates another every day. It's a dog-eat-dog-rat race. That's why I don't know why anyone would want to be in capitalism. And even though you're a good, nice, tame, obedient servant of the capitalists like Senator Humphrey, they raise you up after you're dead and go after your family. There's nothing like the passion, the wolverine, animalistic passion to destroy by competition with others. So we ought to point that out to our children and to our residents and all the beauty of socialism. During the first decade of the 19th century, a Hungarian Jew named Theodor Herzl, H-E-R-Z-L, became obsessed with the concept of creating a homeland for the Jewish people. Herzl, a journalist, called upon and wrote letters to influential men in Europe trying to convince them of the importance of the Jews returning to Zion, the so-called Promised Land. And he was used by economic interests that wanted to divide Jews from the socialist and communist movements of the time. In 1897, Herzl called the First World Zionist Council at Basel, Switzerland, B-A-S-E-L, Switzerland. Look it up on the map, S-W-I-T-Z-E-R-L-A-N-D. That's where all the rich have their secret bank accounts, right next to France. And he called that First World Zionist Council there at Basel, Switzerland. And Zionist organizations were set up in countries where there was a large Jewish population. By 1905, the Zionist movement was split over where the Jews should seek to establish their homeland. Herzl and his followers wanted to accept the British offer of space in Uganda, East Africa, displace the blacks. That would be their first choice. But finally, pressure was enough that they could displace the dark-skinned Arabs. Russian Jews insisted that the Jewish state be located in Palestine. Herzl lost, and Uganda was rejected. In 1917, Great Britain, that's England, or the United Kingdom, through the person of Arthur James Balfour, capital B-A-L-F-O-U-R, its foreign minister then, promised to help establish a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine. Following World War I, England assumed control of Palestine, and Jewish immigration to that area increased rapidly, because all capitalists wanted to get rid of their Jews because capitalist whites, Protestants, don't respect Catholics who are capitalists and don't respect Jews. Capitalists divide over everything. They'll even divide with their own sons and daughters. As J. Paul Getty fought with his own son when he was a billionaire. He died a grossly unhappy man, but he fought over his son for a measly few dollars that was left by another relative. The Zionist, citing Foreign Minister Balfour's promise, which was now called the Balfour Declaration, demanded the immediate formation of a Jewish state in Palestine. But the English policy was to try to reconcile the two nationalisms which were now focused on Palestine, the nationalism of the Jews and the nationalism of the Arabs. This nationalism will probably end up causing nuclear World War III, by the way, because it's everywhere. After World War II ended, We'll stand by for the moment. The rain's a little heavy till it lets up. All right, we shall continue. After World War II ended and the Nazi extermination camps had captured newspaper headlines, world opinion began to favor a Jewish takeover in Palestine. And as I said, the Nazis were set up to cause the Jews, because everyone hated the Jews, to get them out of their hair and get them isolated in a little place like Israel today where they could finally destroy them. But the Jews were wise enough to develop bombs, which was certainly in their interest, but not in the interest of international peace. Palestinian Jews had long been preparing the implementation of the Jewish state, and in 1949, the State of Israel came into being. War with the Arabs broke out immediately and has continued intermittently, now which is almost every day up to the present. Size of Israel's only 7,992 square miles as opposed to the 83,000 square miles of Guyana. It's 12 times less in size, 10 to 12 times less. Not quite the size of the state, the small state of Massachusetts. But what's its population? Horrible. 3.5 million, nearly 4 million, as opposed to less than 1 million here. Overcrowded. Jewish are 85%, Arab are 15%. 85.3 Jewish in religion. Now we're talking about religion breakdown. That was population. Ethnic breakdown I just gave you, 85% Jewish ethnic background, 15% Arab background. But religious, in religion, 85.3% Jewish, 10.9% Muslim, 2.5% Christian, 1.3% Druzean, capital D-R-U-Z-E-A-N. Who rules? Israel is a parliamentary democracy, so-called, with a unicameral, one-house parliament led by a prime minister who represents the majority party. Local communities are governed by locally elected council. Who really rules? Because of Israel's almost constant conflict with surrounding Arab states, the military in Israel, or Zionist Israel, has amassed the considerable amount of the political power. In fact, to be actual, this is a capitalistic summary. The military control, and now the right wing of the military under Begin. The government is also greatly influenced by capitalist supporters of USA, where children teach the mother tongue to their mothers. The national language of Hebrew had not been widely used for almost 2,000 years. When independence was declared in 1948 and the unnatural state set up and dispossessing the Palestinians from their own homeland. They've been in refugee camps ever since that dreadful year. Most of the adults spoke Yiddish, Y-I-D-D-I-S-H, a mishmash language made up of words from various other languages, including Russian, German, Polish, and Hebrew. So children literally learned Hebrew in school and taught their parents. By 1960, over 1 million immigrants had arrived in Israel.